Penguin Random House Audio presents Think Like a Breadwinner, a wealth-building manifesto for women who want to earn more and worry less. This is the author, Jennifer Barrett. To my husband, Victor, a tireless supporter and loving partner, and our two boys. To my friend, Simran, whose story inspired me and this book. To my mom and Nana, who blazed trails for my sister and me and lit fires within us. To my dad, who taught me the value of hard work, perseverance, and dreaming big. To Bea and Andy, who generously opened their hearts and home, offering solace and a quiet place to write. And to my sister, and the dozens of other incredible women who shared their stories, insights, and advice for this book. Preface. Until recently, female breadwinners in America were generally the outliers, not, as is increasingly the case, the norm. But the number of breadwinning women has risen sharply over the last few decades across all ethnic, income, and education groups, with the Great Recession accelerating that trend. This move toward female breadwinning has been significant and relatively recent, with one exception. A significant percentage of Black mothers are the primary source of economic support for their families, and that has been the case for decades. While the total number of female breadwinners has reached record levels in recent years, it's important to acknowledge the hard work and lived experience of the millions of women, many of them women of color, who have been providing for themselves and for their families for years. And to recognize that there are many women from all backgrounds who have not had the luxury of counting on a partner to bring in most of the household income. I am the granddaughter of a female breadwinner who raised two girls on a secretary's salary after her husband left her, and my own mother stepped into the role for a time after my parents' divorce and continued to manage the finances after she got remarried. I have witnessed firsthand both the challenges and the metamorphic effects of breadwinning. My mother and grandmother did not choose to be breadwinners, and each struggled initially. But over time, they transformed into truly independent women, capable of providing the lives they wanted for themselves and their daughters, confident in their money choices and investments, and secure in their futures. They showed me what was possible with a breadwinning mindset. But I didn't recognize that right away. I was seduced by princess fantasies growing up and, like many women, viewed breadwinning warily, as daunting and burdensome and something hoisted upon you like a yoke. It took me years to realize that claiming financial responsibility for myself and my future meant having more power and agency over my life, and that learning how to manage, make, and grow money myself was the best way to ensure the future I wanted came to be. It may feel like the harder path in the short term, especially as many of us aren't taught how to manage our own money successfully, but ultimately, it is the more rewarding and empowering path. With this book, I hope to make that journey shorter, easier, and more joyful. I share my story and the hard-won lessons I've learned and unexpected benefits I've experienced. I also conducted lengthy interviews with more than 100 women from around the country and across a range of ages, income brackets, and ethnicities, including single, married, and divorced women. This book reflects their varied experiences and perspectives, as well as my own, and recognizes and celebrates those women who are already thinking like breadwinners, whether they're single or married. My intent is not just to encourage all women to embrace that mindset, but to provide the tools and tips and real-life lessons to allow all of us to feel confident in our money choices, to afford the lives we want now and in the future, and to experience the joy of being in a position to provide for ourselves and those we love, whether we have to or not. Introduction. The Breadwinner Revelation. The great courageous act that we must all do is to have the courage to step out of our history and past so that we can live our dreams. Oprah Winfrey. My wake-up call came late one spring night when our son was about 18 months old. My husband Victor and I had just fallen asleep in our one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn when Zach started wailing. I leapt out of bed instinctively, as I'd done many nights before, lifting him from the crib a few feet away from our bed and nestling him against my chest. As I paced back and forth across our bedroom, trying to rock Zach back to sleep, I gazed around, bleary-eyed, at the familiar furnishings that usually brought me comfort. The colorful curtains my mother-in-law had sewn for us, the indigo print bedspread that was starting to fray at the edges, the IKEA set of drawers now doing double duty as a diaper-changing table. But this time, as I looked around, I felt a growing sense of unease. Victor and I had lived in this apartment for 7 years now. Through our engagement, a wedding, 4 jobs between us, and now a baby. As I crisscrossed the room that night, it dawned on me that we were in a totally unsustainable situation. We were sharing our only bedroom, which also doubled as a home office for Victor, with a son who was getting close to outgrowing his crib. What would happen as he grew older? And what about that second child we'd always planned to have? That definitely was not going to happen if we were still sharing our bedroom with a toddler. I'd always imagined that we'd be in a home of our own when we started a family, not renting a one-bedroom apartment and wondering if we'd be able to afford another child. But even with 2 paychecks coming in, we seemed to be making slow progress financially, and our expenses were growing. Now we had to pay for childcare, diapers, bottles, and an ever-changing assortment of toys and clothes. We'd have to buy a toddler bed soon. And the rent for our apartment had just gone up. Here I was in my 30s, an independent-minded woman with a successful career and a steady paycheck. How had I gotten to the point where some of the things that mattered most to me were now at stake? A little voice inside my head said, "This isn't the way it was supposed to be." Confession time. When I'd imagined our future together, I'd assumed that Victor's salary would far surpass mine. But he'd been laid off a few years earlier, and it had taken him some time to find another job and regain his financial footing. I'd told myself this was a short-term setback, but his income still wasn't much higher than mine. We'd each already cut back on nights out with friends and had yet to hire a sitter to go out just the two of us. Before the baby, we'd had dinner out at least once a week. Now we stayed home and often ate takeout pizza or canned soup with toast after our son finally fell asleep. Although the gap in our earnings had shrunk significantly, I realized I was still clinging to the belief that Victor would be the one to get a raise or a better-paying job that would allow us to afford a bigger place. I'd been plodding along, paycheck to paycheck, happy in my job as a magazine writer and focused on our baby. I'd mostly resisted looking more than a few months into the future. After I set Zach gently in his crib, I slipped back into bed and gazed at my husband, sound asleep and snoring softly beside me. I lay awake, my heart racing. Dozens of questions ran through my head. How much more would we need to save to have a second child? How much would we need to save to buy a home? What if Victor didn't get a better-paying job? Then, the ultimate question, one I'd never asked myself before. Was I prepared to take on the main breadwinner role in order to afford the future we wanted? Challenging our assumptions about money. Looking back now, I wish someone had told me early on what I'm about to tell you. The choices you make with your money and career should be based on just one assumption: that you, and only you, are ultimately responsible for your future. They should be based on what you want for your life and what it will take to get there financially, on your own. That doesn't mean you won't get or stay married, or even that you'll end up being the main earner in your relationship. It just means that you'll be in a position to afford the things you want in your life, regardless of whether you're single, married, or divorced. And that's a pretty sweet spot to be in. Plus, Imagine, if you and a future partner are both thinking like bread.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?